Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What's good, y'all? This is Breeze Brewing from the Mighty Juggernauts. And make sure you subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel, hip-hop journalism on the highest level.
Yeah, what's up? It's your boy Joel Ortiz, and I want everybody to make sure that they subscribe and download the podcast, Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. Yo, Tim, I hope all is well. You my guy. I know these interviews are not interviews. They're actually conversations, and I appreciate them all. Yawa.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ice-T. I want you to do something for me. Make sure you download and subscribe Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It is official. All right, stop playing. Download and subscribe. Library Rap, the hip-hop interviews with Tim Einenkel. It's cold.
Iconic MC, one of the original members of the Flavor Unit, has influenced so many. He's Joe Rob G, and I want to welcome him to allhiphop.com presents the Library with Tim Einenkel. Thank you so much for being here. It's an honor, man.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
So, Rob, we first met many moons ago. I met you at SOBs in New York, and I was doing an Ari the Rugged Man show.
Yes.
This is the first time I saw you live. Ari invited you on the stage. You got up on the stage. You killed it. The crowd loved it. And it was just kind of blew me away at the time. So I have to ask, take me back to when you were a kid. What attracted you to music in general, but then what also attracted you to this art form we now know today as hip hop and, you know, rap music? And then also how have you continued to develop yourself in that live performance?
So when I was a kid, I was raised by my grandparents, and they were from the South, from South Carolina. And a lot of the musical influence in the house was gospel music. And, you know, also when I was a kid, they used to drag me to church with them on Sundays and sometimes Fridays and sometimes too. I was in church a lot. So when you're in church and you're a kid and, you know, it's like that type of vibe, Pentecostal, it's a lot of live instruments playing. It's a lot of, you know, shouting and dancing, and people sleep on how funky that can get, because the organ player and the drummer, these are young people in their 20s, and whatever's funky at the time, they, you know, they start to riff on that, even with the gospel, and so it's kind of dope. And yeah, that kind of like opened me up to music, so to speak. And you know, I got older, and as a teenager, you know, I think hip-hop began to get popular at the exact right time for me, because, you know, it's like a rebellious type of music, and I'm a teenager, and that's natural. That's what goes on with teenagers. You begin to start to express yourself in all kinds of different ways. And for me, that, you know, hip hop was it. So I got down with the culture, you know what I mean? I was, you know, it wasn't even rapping at this. It wasn't necessarily called rapping. We were just trying to, you know, rhyme. We were just trying to make up rhymes. And, you know, I heard King Tim III one day on a bus stop, and, you know, really bugged me out. After that, I heard, you know, Rap is Delight, which people think is the first rap record. But, you know, it's all good. And, you know, it just, I wanted to rhyme after that. I wanted to do my own records. You know what I'm saying? And me and my friends, you know, we was all in the same vibe. And, you know, I was kind of adventurous. So being from Jersey City, we used to hop on a train, go up to Harlem, because that was the spot to be. Because at that time, Harlem had a spot called Harlem World, which was a club. Mm-hmm. And we was too young to get in, but we still was like out there late night watching the crowds, watching the people move. You know what I mean? We just wanted to be around it. And it just stayed with me, man. You know what I mean? Until I kept rhyming. It was a way to get attention. You know what I mean? The girls used to like to hear, you know, the rapper. You could get on and you could do your thing. I'd pick up a couple of phone numbers. You know, that type of thing. And, just stayed with it until I fell ass backwards into a deal with Wild Pitch Records. Didn't even mean to do that.
I don't want to talk about Wild Pitch a little later, but I always, you know, you hear the name Chirab G and it's such a great name. And I always wondered, where did it come from? Because you have because lyrically, you listen to your music, you're like, he's definitely, I mean, he's not chill at all, you know, but, you know, or is maybe the friend be like, chill, Rob G, you know, or is it?
That's it right like there, that. Tim. You hit the nail on the head. It's not because I'm chill. Chill Rob G is a request. Nice. You understand? Chill Rob G and no is my answer. You can hear me rhyming. So that's how Chill Rob G came about. But no, seriously, I went through a lot of different names as a kid. Like I used to call myself Killer B. Shout out to Wu-Tang, but I used to call myself Killer B way back in the day. That was probably my first name because, you know, as Robert, your nickname is Bobby. So everybody called me Bobby. Right. So I had two variations of Bobby. It was Bobby G, Bobby J for Jazzy. It was all kinds of different things. And when we were taking my little acetate up to Red Alert, acetate, for y'all who don't know, is a record. It's a disc which is not going to last very long. It's going to warp. It's going to fade. It's going to be useless. But you could burn your music onto this thing and hand it to a DJ. So this was my first demo. We're taking this acetate up to Red Alert, hoping he'll play it. And when we were in the radio station, 45 King asked me, so what name are you going to tell Red Alert? Are you going to tell him Bobby G? And I thought about it. And, you know, I'm thinking now I'm about to name myself for all eternity for the world and the universe beyond. So let me come up with something kind of dope. And the best I could do was Chill Rob G. Because I didn't want to be cool. There was enough cool rappers. So I said Chill.
That's dope.
That's how that came out.
So was this taking this tape to your demo tape, was this prior to anything solo, or was this prior to the Flavor Unit coming together? To kind of take us back to when exactly this all occurred.
We got this thing together. We weren't quite the Flavor Unit yet. When I met the group that became the Flavor Unit, I had already known Apache and Latif, right? These are brothers, and I knew them from high school. We all went to high school together in Jersey City. So they had moved from Jersey City to like the next town over, which is Irvington, New Jersey. Got to cross the bridge to get to it. They moved to Irvington, and I ran into them, you know, just running the streets as I did. And Latif was the one who said, yo, man, you need to come with us to this kid's house. 45 King got a lot of tracks. He's doing a lot of music. Come through because, you know, we rap. Because anytime there was a block party, basement party, any place where they had a live mic and they might hand it to somebody, I tried to make sure I was there so they might hand me that mic. And they did. So, you know, Latif knew everybody knew I rapped in Jersey City. It's a small town. Everybody knew I could rhyme back then. And so they invited me over to the 45 King's house. And when I got there, we had a little freestyle session. Me, Latif, Apache was there. You know, a lot of drinks, a lot of weed going, a lot of rhyme spitting. A couple of faces that I didn't know, which was Latifah and this dude named Ramsey, who was the... He had a crew called Ram Enterprise Entertainment, whatever he called it, right? And Ramsey's idea was he wanted to do fashion shows and, block parties, whatever events he could do, and he wanted to be able to provide entertainment. So the rappers that we were part of that, and it was a bunch of us. So that's how we became the Flavor. We went from Ram Enterprises to the Flavor.
Prior to the interview, I reached out to DMC to ask him, and I asked him, if somebody asked you why is Chill Rob G important in hip hop culture, what would you say? And
he DMC wrote back, who? The rapper?
The rapper. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah. And he wrote back, he said, quote, he is an OG hip-hop artist from New Jersey. He can detail the scene of hip-hop from New Jersey before the dominant rise of the likes of Lords of the Underground, Naughty, Latifah, et cetera, et cetera. It's important to get his perspective of what hip-hop was like, especially New Jersey hip-hop at this time, and not just New York, the mecca of hip-hop. So can you do that? Can you detail a little more detail of what New Jersey hip-hop scene was like prior to the rise of the groups all I mentioned?
There was some of us who was listening. Jersey is known for house music and club music, especially back then. And that's mostly what was popping. And I remember distinctly going to a club that we had out here in Newark called Sensations. And Sensations was an odd type of spot where they had everything was going on in this building. You go in Sensations, there's a room playing with they got a movie on the screen. And there's like a bunch of people in there watching a movie. Loud ass music bouncing off the walls right outside the hallway because there's club music playing in this spot. And there's a dance floor. People are dancing. Walk down the hall a little bit, and there's reggae playing, right? Loud as hell. Walk down the hall a little bit more, and there's hip-hop playing. But, you know, that room wasn't that crowded because, like I said, it was house music. You know, we had Zanzibar popping off and all kinds of other club and house spots. I know I'm not naming the main ones, especially in New York, but that's what it was. So I had this radio, which is similar to the radio that Cool J had on his album cover. Fucking loud, right? And I had this thing right outside Sensations after the club was over. And it was KRS-One's album that had just been released. And I'm blasting this fucking thing. And we stayed out there for like an hour after the club was over. And the crowd that was leaving the club stayed right where they were. Because I was bouncing this record, you know what I mean? I'm blasting this record. And they're not moving. They listening. So... hip hop. I didn't start hip hop in Jersey, but I had that crowd. But KRS-One, I had that crowd right there, and you know, gradually, just more people started to pick up. You know what I mean? Started to pick up on it. Let me just say this.
Sorry.
I was really excited to find out that Hassan and 7-Eleven was from Jersey. That was the first rap crew that I ever heard of. They had a record called "In the City," I think it was. And them being from Jersey, you know, every little thing just gives you a little bit more encouragement. So, yeah, I was really hyped to find out that they was from Jersey.
If you think about, of course, Bronx, New York is, you know, the birthplace of hip hop. But then, if you know, one can argue that the birthplace of the business side of hip hop was New Jersey with the Robinsons and you know, Sugar Hill Records, because they were obviously from New Jersey. Would you agree with that argument, I guess, to say, and also two, having the first record, you know, printed, I guess, from a New Jersey label, so to say, how did that help New Jersey artists in terms of going into New York or even getting played on New York radio, and maybe even more of an acceptance to in hip hop because this record was printed in New Jersey?
I mean, you know, I don't know if it really helped, man. Unpopular answer is, you know, Mr. Magic was like a little reluctant to outside of New York rap. When Magic had to play my record one night, I was listening to the radio and he definitely said under his breath, "Jersey rappers." You know, and he said it like he was exasperated, wasn't that thrilled, but he had to play that record because the record was kind of, you know, it was kind of hot for back then. And, you know, God bless Mr. Magic, you know what I mean? He was a great dude. I met him in person. I actually went into the rap contest that they used to host in Queens, and I didn't win, but they took my number and all of that because they saw that I was trying to really do it. You know what I mean? So I got no problems with that.
You referenced, though, you know, your demo with Wild Pitch Records, a little earlier, and I want to ask you about that. You know, your Ride the Rhythm was, you know, you released it under them. Artists that were with them at the time, and I'm probably missing some, again, Star Lord Finesse, DJ and DJ Mike Smooth, and others. When Wild Pitch first approached you, what did you know about them at the time, and what was their, I guess, their more of their importance or something in terms of in music at this time?
Wild Pitch was really nothing when I started with them. They had one act And it was this kid named Lemagne. That was his rap name, for God's sake, Lemagne. And he had a song called The Hardest Beat Around. And it was trash. I've said this 100 times. I was listening to this dude because I used to listen to Special K and Teddy. It wasn't Special K and Teddy Ted. It was the Hank Love Half Pint radio show in New York. And these DJs, you know, these guys used to come on late at night, like on a Wednesday or Thursday night. You're supposed to be asleep. You got to go to school tomorrow. You know what I mean? But I'm up listening to these dudes, and they played this record, and it was such garbage. I knew I could make it. I knew I could make it because this guy got a record. This is trash. So if he got a record, I'm good. All I need to do is get myself in front of an executive. So that really boosted my confidence hearing that, you know, this garbage was working. You know what I mean? Like, he's on the radio. I could do it. So Stu Fine, ironically, Stu Fine owned the label. He was on Wild Pitch Records, this guy. So I gave my demo to Red Alert that I talked about earlier. Red Alert played that on live on the air. Stu Fine called Red Alert and asked him who I was. Red Alert passed my number. A couple weeks go by, blah, blah, blah. I'm signed to Wild Pitch. And they dropped Lemagne. So that was weird, man. That's right. Weird. But that's how that happened. And yeah, Wild Pitch didn't really have anybody. When I first started with them, I used to meet Stu Fine at his apartment in Manhattan. He had a very nice apartment, him and his wife. I guess it's doing better now. And that was the office. So, you know what I mean? They weren't really Wild Pitch yet. They didn't have any acts. They had Latee and myself and that kid that I just mentioned.
What were you, when you only dropped one album with them, but what were you hoping to get out of this deal from them? What do you think, I guess?
You know, 20 years old, signing a record contract, your head is full of all kinds of fantasies of plane trips and, you know, champagne and large houses and fly cars. I didn't know what I was going to get out of this deal with Wild Pitch. I had no idea. I was going to push and keep pushing. I wasn't focused on what I'm going to get. I was just trying to focus on the lyrics, trying to focus on the rhymes, make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to do so that I can get what I'm supposed to get. But when it was time to, you know, add it all up, it didn't add up, man. Like, Wild Pitch wasn't ready to pay nobody. They didn't have it. You know, it was, we couldn't move forward with that. Like, here's the thing. I'm in a restaurant again with Wild Pitch with Stu Fine, discussing my second album, and he's offering me like a real low number. It's like a McDonald's worker's salary to do a second album. No disrespect to McDonald's workers, but you know, man. I'm in hip hop. I'm supposed to be making some money. And on the radio, while we're having this conversation, is my record. And I'm like, how can I? They're saying, nah, I'm not going to sign this contract. And, I was really offended. And that kind of destroyed our relationship. Like, I couldn't move forward with them. No way.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know, you're obviously your single off the album, The Power, right? I mean, your opening lyrics off the bat, I think, are really says a lot and really powerful. You know, don't say this, don't say that, change your lyrics. You know, it seems like those lyrics are the discussion that a lot of artists have today about how the record label is trying to control what they say, or, you know, they can't say this, they have to say something else, whatever. Right. Thing. So who was that? Who were those a response to? I mean, just to get off, you know, off the bat, you are, you know, you're having some argument, some disagreement that the listeners are wondering what's going on.
Honestly, man, it was me. You know, when you sit down and write your song, you know, you're using your imagination. And I just envisioned that eventually somebody would have a problem with something I was saying. And this was my response before you even got a chance. I already had you. Here's my response. You know what I mean? So don't say this, don't say that, change your lyrics. Everybody's a critic.
Right.
You know?
So, you know, I like to do these interviews because when a lot of this stuff was happening, I was young. I was like, admittedly, I was 10 years old when The Power came out.
Cool.
And to think about New York City radio at the time, obviously we were dealing with Z100, who, you know, their big thing was they had a line that goes, absolutely no hip hop whatsoever, you know, that type of crap that we were dealing with at the time. I remember that as a kid. But I was also, so I was
they
also.
They had to change that, didn't they? They changed that.
They changed it when they realized they could make money off of it.
Yeah.
And then I was 11, and then to just further discussion, I was 11 year old when Snap dropped their, you know, Power song. So that was the one that was played a lot on the radio, you know, that if as 11-year-old it's imprinted in my mind for some reason or whatnot. So can you just talk about how did those remixes of your song come to be? I mean, was that like kind of the plan? Was that a marketing thing, or was that just something that was definitely not a marketing plan and just kind of, you know, went haywire, I guess, or something like that?
Man, I wish we had planned that. Maybe that would have been a good idea if I was in with them, but I wasn't in with them. It wasn't a marketing plan. It was, you know, what was rampant was people doing remixes to music. People would do a remix and they would send it into your label and maybe they would get a deal to release the record, or maybe they would get to produce some new music or something like that. But with The Power, what happened, they did the remix. Some kids in Germany did the remix and gave it to a couple of local DJs who played it in clubs. And the club people went crazy. And then they got it on the air, on the radio, without a deal. So this is the remix version of Let the Words Flow, basically.
Right.
And so now Let the Words Flow is doing great things on the radio in Germany as The Power. And it's doing so well that Arista Records in Germany or in Europe is called Ariola Records. So Arista got a hold of it and released it just like that. So I don't know if who lied to who. I don't know if Arista knew the truth and didn't care. But they released the record, and that is selling it, and they're pushing it on the radio. They're promoting it in Europe. And this is The Power playing, which is basically a remix of Let the Words Flow. And it's gotten so popular. I guess they knew that somebody knew that they couldn't reach out to the guy who was on the record, myself.
Right.
They found somebody to go in and lip sync the record. I don't know what are you thinking? Am I dead? I don't know what was going on in their minds, but they just got somebody to go up on stage and lip sync my vocals and do I Got the Power.
Right.
So now they're promoting the record with shows. I had just gotten off tour with the Jungle Brothers. I had done like a bunch of shows with them, maybe about 2-3 months in Europe. I'm exaggerating, but 2 or 3 weeks in Europe. And so they knew my stuff. So they were in a club and they saw this guy come out and do my record. They saw him do the power. So after that, Africa called me up and he was like, yo, Rob, man, this dude, we just saw this dude on stage performing your song. I actually did a song about this, Tim, so, but anyway. We just saw this guy performing your song. So, yeah, man, you need to get on that. When he first said it, I thought he meant, like, you know, the guy was up there lip-syncing. I thought, no big deal. It was nothing. So what? But he was like, no, man, they remixed your joint. And this guy's out here like it's a brand new record. And they call themselves, I don't know if he knew the name, but they were calling themselves The Snap. And they out here and they performing your record like it's them and not you, kid. They like X you out. So I was like, okay, let me find out what's going on. Go up to Wild Pitch. Wild Pitch has the record. They have a copy of the record that I'm talking about with nice, beautiful artwork on it. You know, some dude busting out of his shirt. I got the power. You know, it was great. And it's a completed product. Like, this is what Arista was selling. So the story that they gave me when I went up there was that somebody had left that record anonymously outside the door of the office. So when they got there, that's all they knew. They didn't know who it was. They didn't know, hey, what's happening? But hey, nobody knew anything. And so we played it. And this is the first time I'm hearing it. We played it in the office. And, you know, you heard it. Everybody heard the record. It's kind of bouncy. You know, it's I Got the Power. Right. Blah, blah, blah. So all this stuff that I was doing before that was not that. I was not doing club music like that. I was not doing bouncy party records like that. I had a couple of records that you could dance to, but there wasn't that. And, you know, I wasn't mad at this record. It sounded good. I was like, okay, this is cool. So Stu Fine's idea was we should release this. We should put this out ourselves. And, you know, we won't even call it a remix. We'll just release it as a new song. And I was like, yeah, but what about the record? You know, look at this record. Like, there's a record in your hand, man. So shouldn't we do something about that? Like, you got to sue. Something got to happen. But he kind of, you know, brushed that off. And he wanted to move forward with the, you know, let's release this new stuff. And we're back to that. We'll, you know, we'll take care of it. So I kind of, you know, I'm new in the business. I don't really know what's going on. I'm like this kid. I'm out here by myself, basically, dealing with this cat who claimed he had, like, 15 years in the business at that point. Yeah. All right, cool. Cool, go ahead, Stu. Let's release it. So we released the record, and it's a bomb. Kaboom! Thing blew up, right? Immediately, I'm getting calls to do shows. My price shot up by $5,000. I'm doing shows all over the country. I'm touring everywhere. I'm on tour with Public Enemy. It's beautiful. I'm happy. And all of a sudden, Arista Records was like, nah, this is our creation. We stole this from you, and we're not letting you have it. And so they released the record in the U.S. also. So now they have it in Europe, and they got it in the U.S. And to put the icing on the cake, the same kid that they had lip-syncing, they sent him into the studio to, you know, record some new vocals. So now this kid recorded some new vocals, and you know, he did a video. Mm-hmm. So Arista felt like, you know, yeah, we, you know, this is our stuff. I mean, it's incredible, man. So around this time, look, Arista had just gotten over the Milli Vanilli beef, right? This is Arista. This is how they were moving. They didn't care about stealing from anybody. And I was just another anybody to them. So they jacked my joint just like they did the other kid. You know what I mean? That's how that went.
My rhyme is authentic, so it shall remain. My writing, exciting, never mundane. In actuality, my personality keeps my mentality based on real life situations, not speculations, but verbal illustrations of how I feel.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.